Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend TV. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm good, man. Glad to have you on the show, as always.
Glad to be on it. Thank you.
Right. Thanks, man. We got a busy show today. You know, we're going to be talking baseball and the big news, Yankee land, you know, the big fish they've been searching for, the big white whale, as Brent Cashman pointed out before he even made the deal official. And, of course, I'm talking about the Gerrit Cole signing. We're going to also talk about Mets making some moves as well on the starting rotation and, you know, why I think they should improve with the team. We'll also talk about the NBA. The Knicks are on a winning streak. I think this is going to be the only time we're saying this the rest of this year, much less even into next year. But, yeah, we'll talk about the Knicks. We'll talk about the Nets losing to the defending world champs, Raptors. You know, we'll talk about Giants and Jets. You know, Eli Manning is, you know, on his, you know, his last hurrah, you know, with the Giants. Talk about the Jets and their embarrassing loss to the Ravens. But, I mean, we all knew that was going to happen. And, of course, last but not least, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, WWE, you know, the TLC pay-per-view event. And maybe some, you know, maybe a little extra. Who knows? If we've got time. But, of course, most importantly, you know, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So that's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. So with that said, man, let's just dive right into this free agency talk. And, you know, the Yankees, man, the Yankees came to play as usual, man. You know, forget about that Warriors movie. Warriors came out to play. The Yankees, you know, they came out to play, man, as usual. You know, they said, you know, they took a piece of paper that said the luxury tax and ripped it in half. And you know, they reeled in the fish that they were looking for to getting for Lord knows how many years now. And that's Gerrit Cole. They give him a whopping $324 million, which is now the major league record for a pitcher. They signed him for 9 years. And, yeah, man, this is the bold move that the Yankees needed to make. You know, they had some, you know, on the rotation, they have some guys who could be potential aces, like Tanaka and, James Paxton, you know, guys who, you know, who have that upside, but are not like legit bona fide aces. But with Gerrit Cole, you got easily a top five starter in the league. Some people may say the best, like Mac, but I'm still saying DeGrom. Yes, I know I'm a Mets fan. I know I sound impartial, but come on. DeGrom is the two-time defending Cy Young Award winner. So, hey, until someone stop him like a Scherzer, you know, then they could talk, because I've seen Scherzer, and now everybody's seen Scherzer on the World Series stage, man. So to me, Scherzer is number two. You could put Gerrit Cole at number three, and Verlander, those guys. You put them, you know, on that level. But this is what the Yankees had to do. The Yankees had to show the world that they're still, you know, the top dogs when it comes to spending. And it weakens the Astros, you know. So it's a perfect move for the Yankees. It's a throwback Yankee move. So, you know, you got to tip your cap to the Yankees. And, you know, Macaulay right now as we speak, we're live from the Tinker Tape Parade. He's from the future, apparently. He's standing right outside, you know, down the Canyon of Heroes right now. It's empty right now, you know, because it's December, but Mac is just holding his spot for the Canyon of Heroes, you know.
Oh, man.
So.
Oh, man, I am excited, man. This move has me pumped, man. I haven't been pumped as a Yankee fan in years. Man, this is a great move. I mean, the Yankees, they had to do this. Gerrit Cole's out there. You know, you have the money. Spend it. You know, don't worry about no luxury tax like they've been worrying about the last several years. You know, go out and get this guy. I mean, it's a lot of money they gave to him. You know, $324 million, $35 per year. It's a lot of money. But the Yankees, I mean, they're a billion-dollar organization. They can clearly afford it. So it shouldn't matter. And, you know, they did what they felt they needed to, man. They needed that guy to get them over the hump. You know, these last few years, we failed in the postseason because we hadn't had that top ace. And now we have a guy that's not only going to be the ace, you know, he's going to be one of our best players on the team. And you can see from his stuff, this guy has some vicious stuff, man. That's why I say he's the best pitcher, at least in the American League, you know. But, I mean, he's going to pitch great, I think, in New York, and he's going to make these other guys behind him pitch great as well. And I think he gives us a great shot at winning the championship. And 9 years that we have him for, I mean, if we can get one or two championships out of it, I call it a success. You know, so it was a great move, and it's a good time to be a Yankees fan, man. Good time. I'm actually going into the DeLorean to go to the parade right now, so I'll see you later.
All right, man. See you soon, man. Tell me how many Yankee fans you see at the Canyon Heroes, man.
I will. See you.
And if you, by the way, before you go, you know, and hang out with Marty and Doc Brown, you know, if you pass by the Brooklyn Bridge, try to talk some Astro fans, you know, not to jump off the bridge, you know. They had a good run, you know. You never know.
Oh, I saw Astro fans jumping off the Empire State, but I just ignored it.
But yeah, also, you know, the Yankees again. Yankees had to do that move, and you know, props to the Yankees, man. Any other moves you think they should make? I mean, in your opinion?
Well, I know they're trying to strengthen their bullpen, even though their bullpen doesn't even need any more strengthening. Mm-hmm. But I know they're going after thinking about what's that guy from the Brewers? Hader.
Oh yeah, Hader. Mm-hmm.
I mean, adding him would make that bullpen, you know, even more phenomenal. More phenomenal.
Than
you know?
Yourself?
Yeah, you know. I mean, but I guess right now maybe some relief guys and maybe, you know, some backup guys in the lineup, you know, because we've lost Didi Gregorius, who's a great Yankee, you know, for the last several years for us. He went to the Phillies, and we lost our backup catcher, Austin Romine.
To the Tigers.
So, yeah, I mean, if we can get some guys to replace those guys as backups, you know, I think we should be fine.
Yeah, you answered my next question about Didi Gregorius, man. I know you love Gregorius, you know, every reason, man. The guy,
third
clutch.
Didi. Yeah.
And another guy that, you know, might re-sign with you guys, might go cross town with the Mets or go to the Dodgers or wherever is Dylan Betances. How would you feel if he leaves the Yankees?
Yeah. Well, Dylan, you know, he wasn't much of a factor last year because he was injured. But, yeah, he's had a great run with us. I mean, I would love to bring him back, but if we don't, I mean, it's not going to be a major loss because we have guys in the bullpen right now. Mm-hmm. And if they get Hader, I mean, that's kind of an upgrade over Betances, I think, you know. Because
right.
I don't know how Betances is going to pitch after having that injury last year. So who knows
right.
if he can still pitch at the level he was pitching at 2 years ago. So,
right.
If we bring back, I mean, that'd be great. If not, then, you know, I don't think it's going to be a major loss,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he can be replaced, so.
Right, especially on the Yankees. Anybody's replaced.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, it looks like Yankees have strong interest in Josh Hader right now.
Mm-hmm.
Get that Hatery ready.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see them selling that at Yankee Stadium right now. See the Yankee fans holding up the banner. But
we'll see.
Yeah, speaking of Betances, man, to me, that's a guy who the Mets got to sign. They let Blake Tynan sign with the Dodgers, I think. Mets are also interested in Hader too, but, you know, the odds of Mets acquiring him, you know, or any of these trades that they're rumored with, Sterling Marte or Mookie Betts, I mean, those are slim to none chances. The only trades they're gonna be able to do is trade Dom Smith, you know, and attach probably a bad contract with it.
Yeah.
You know, to try to get under the luxury tax. I mean, you know, they did. I don't know if you heard, but they made a deal with Cespedes to reduce his contract. So this guy was gonna make $29 million, close to $30 million. And they were able to reduce his money to like about $10 million or so.
Wow.
So this should give them like about at least $10 million to spend. And I'm hoping with this move, they could at the very minimum sign Betances. And well, I would love them to sign Betances and another reliever, you know, maybe a Joe Smith or Harris or somebody like that, you know. But Will Smith, somebody of that ilk, you know, a guy that they could, you know, because they need two bullpen guys.
Like, yeah,
I know bullpen, like Brody Van Wagenen was talking about, like, they're volatile, you know, as evident with Familia and Diaz, who coming into the thing was like the best young guy, in 2018. And he comes to New York, and it's like a totally different story, you know, with him. So, yeah, I think they definitely should take a chance on Betances. You know, he's a young guy. Yeah, he's injury. He was hurt last year, you know. But, you know, I think they definitely need to take the chance on him. You know.
Yeah, he'd be a great addition, especially you guys got Porcello now.
Mm-hmm.
To the rotation.
Yep.
Betances will be a great addition to the bullpen, no doubt.
Yep. Yeah, they signed Porcello and Michael Wacha. Wacha Wacha. You know, Fozzie the Bears' favorite pitcher, apparently. You know, those guys are apparently in the rotation, but now it's up to six people because, of course, you know, you got the best pitcher in the game, DeGrom. You got Syndergaard, Thor. You got Mats, who, I mean, I'm hoping they hold on to him, that they're not going to use him in their trade or anything. They're going to hold on to him because, a guy, he's a gutsy lefty pitcher. I've always been a fan of Mats, so hopefully they'll hold on to him. And then you got Stroman, you know, not to be confused with Braun Stroman. You know, he had an okay season with the Mets. I mean, he started off shaky, kind of pitched a little bit better towards the end. And then you got Rick Porcello, which that's the guy who, you know, I was hoping they would go after, you know, in the off season. I mean, other than the big fish, because, I mean, obviously I knew they were going to go after Cole or Strasburg. You know, Porcello was one of those guys that I was zeroing in on that hopefully they would sign them. So when they signed Michael Wacha, I was like, Michael Wacha, he used to be good, you know, especially with the Cardinals. I think 2013 was like his best year or so. It's been a while since he's been like a all-star. I didn't mind the deal, you know, as a guy, you know, to see, you know, if he could still have it, but I didn't want him to be the last move. So fortunately for me, the next day, they signed Rick Porcello, which, you know, the guy, he's from New Jersey. His last great year was probably 2016, you know, where he was dominant. I think he won the Cy Young that year. And, last year he had a horrible year, you know, because he changed the way how he pitched. I think he was trying to pitch the analytics, and it wasn't working out for him. But hopefully he could bounce back, you know, now pitching in the National League, you know, a local guy, you know. Hopefully he could bounce back, which I'm hoping for. I mean, he's an innings eater, which is a plus. A guy you know, definitely a guy you want on your fifth, you know, the fifth guy in your rotation. So I love the Porcello move, you know. So 1 year deal, then he could bounce back. Michael Wacha, you know, he has a one year $3 million contract with the incentives to go up to $10 million. So, you know, I like the signings. If Wacha was just a fifth starter, I'd have been you could have done better. You could have even took a flyer on Madison Bumgarner, even though Madison Bumgarner is not the same guy he used to be years ago, but at least the guy in the postseason, he's money, you know. So that's another guy, you know, I was thinking they should, you know, go after if they're not going to go after the big fish, which, you know, obviously the Mets haven't done in a long, long time. Probably since Pedro Martinez was in free agency in 05. And then afterwards, you know, they traded for Santana in 08. Other than that, they haven't really been, you know, going after free agent big name pitchers. No. But yeah, we'll see what happens. What's your thoughts?
I think it's a great move. If Porcello can pitch like he did several years ago, you know, the Mets, you know, will have a good pitcher in their rotation. But it's a good signing. I mean, because they weren't able to get Jericho or Strasburg. I mean, there aren't any other pitchers out there right now that can make an impact that I can think of. But I think Porcello will be a good fit, you know. But we'll see. You know, we'll see if he because he's already been in a big market like this pitching in Boston. So I don't think,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's going to let that get to him. It'll just be a matter of his pitching mechanics if that's been resolved. Because as you mentioned, he was trying to pitch, you know, by the analytics. Now he can just be the pitcher he once was and just let his stuff do the talking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. But it's a good move by the Mets.
Yeah. And Mets, you know, they like we were mentioning, man, Mets got to make some big moves because the National League East is improving. Everybody in the National League East is improving. I mean, even the Marlins are improving. I'm not saying Marlins is going to take the fourth place spot, you know. I think at the worst case scenario, Mets is a fourth place team, you know. I mean, they have a really good team. I mean, Mets was a 500 team, but Mets are missing some stuff to put them over the top, like last year, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, they weakened their rotation by letting Wheeler go to the Phillies. You know, Porcello could be that guy that could make them, you know, for at least 1 year, forget about Wheeler leaving, you know.
Right.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a big if. And then, Michael Wacha, he said that he came here, you know, they told him he's going to start. And, you know, the Porcello money that they gave Porcello, he's going to definitely start. So I don't know if they're going to try to trade Mats or Stroman or, I don't know, just let it play out. Because obviously they're not going into the season with six starters.
Yeah, no.
But,
nah.
You know, we'll see what happens, man. Hopefully the Mets will make the right moves because they definitely need to make some moves. Because, you know, the Nationals, they re-signed Strasburg. Rendon went to the Angels, which, I mean, that's a huge loss for them. But the Nationals are still the defending champions, man. So,
yeah.
Until you beat them, they're the team to beat. So, we'll see what happens. But shifting gears to the Knicks. And, you know, Knicks are on the 2-game winning streak. They beat the Warriors. Yes, the Warriors did not have Curry. And, of course, they didn't have Klay Thompson because Klay Thompson has a serious injury ever since the finals.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is not the same Warriors team. And as a result, the Warriors are one of the worst teams in basketball. I mean, when was the last time we've said that in a sentence?
It's almost unbelievable.
Yeah. It's the end of an era as quickly as we knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the Knicks won that game, snapped their 10-game losing streak, and gave Mike Miller his first win, you know, as a coach, you know, with the Knicks. And then afterwards, I think they beat the Kings. The Kings, I think, had like a 20-point lead on them at one point. But the Knicks came back and won that game as well. So Knicks are on a brief 2-game winning streak. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the Knicks. I mean, obviously it's too little too late. But hopefully, you know, Knicks will make the right decision who's going to be the next head coach.
I hear there's rumors that they're trying to get rid of Steve Mills as well.
Yeah, I hope so. They need to get rid of him. And yeah, I hear that they're really after Masai Ujiri, you know, the GM of the Raptors.
Oh yeah, they've been after that guy for a while now. But I don't know if they're gonna be able to get him. We'll see.
Yeah, I doubt that. But guess we'll see what happens, man. Because they need Mark Jackson, man. That's the guy they need. They need Mark Jackson or Van Gundy. That's like the top two guys that they got to go after.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. On the Nets side, they lost today to the defending world champion Raptors. I think the final score was like, what was it, 110-102? I think Dinwiddie had like 22 points or 24 points. I can't remember, but it wasn't enough. And Siakam scored like 30 points on them. So, you know, the Nets, I mean, they're easily the best team in town, you know. But, you know, they got ways to go.
They've been playing well with this injury to Kyrie. I mean, they actually even have better record without Kyrie.
Yeah, they do.
So that tells you something.
Yeah.
Every team Kyrie is on, the team plays much better without him.
Yeah, they do. Because they want to take that next step. They got to have Kyrie, you know, focus, stay healthy, and, you know, just focus on winning basketball games, and, you know.
Yeah.
They can make some noise. I'm not saying they're going to win the championship, but, you know, they could. Last year was an improvement. You know, last year was a huge stepping stone, and, you know, they look to build on it.
Right.
But, you know, we'll see what the Nets do in the future. And, shifting gears, Giants, man. You know, Giants, this is a lost year for the Giants. They're, what, 2-11? And basically, you know, Eli, you know, he started the game, you know, the previous game. But, you know, unfortunately for him, you know, the Eagles won. And now they're gonna play, tomorrow? What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, hopefully Eli can get a win because right now his career win-loss record, I think he's one game under 500 right now. So hopefully he can end the season and his career by going 500. But I thought he played well against the Eagles. Now they play the Dolphins, and the Dolphins don't have a great defense or secondary. So I expect Eli to have a very good game. And I expect the Giants to win this game tomorrow. So, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Didn't he go for two touchdowns like in the first half, and then
yeah,
kind of changed
struggled a little bit in the second half, but I thought overall he played good, I mean, for the most part. But, yeah, I mean, you're playing the Dolphins this week. You should play much better. And you should have 4 touchdowns tomorrow against that Dolphin team. So.
Oh, yeah, here's a debate that Eli's had for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And since you're a diehard Giant fan,
yeah,
I know you're biased, but I think I know your answer will be, do you think Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I know this question comes up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say yes. Based on the numbers, based on the Super Bowl rings, I'd say he is. I mean, based on the numbers, I mean, this guy, he does have good stuff. He does have very good. I mean, he has 50,000 yards. I mean, 50,000 yards for a quarterback, that's very good. You know, completion percentage is not great, 60%. Win-loss record is not great since he's won game under 500 now. Mm-hmm. But he's thrown for 50,000 yards. Has over 300 touchdowns in his career, 2 Super Bowl rings. He beat Tom Brady twice. Yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think so. I mean, you can't make a case for many people that has done what he's done, you know, throughout his 15-year career. So I would say yes. I mean, I've seen worse guys go in the Hall of Fame, but I think he deserves to go in there.
I totally agree with you. I mean, the guy. I mean. Obviously, he's not his brother, but he's a pretty good quarterback. You know, he got the two rings, beat Tom Brady. Beating Tom Brady one time is like a feat within itself.
Yeah,
beating them twice, and not to mention the ending their undefeated record. The first time around.
Yeah,
like one of the biggest, arguably might even be the greatest comeback. You know, performance in Super Bowl history.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Super Bowl III, you know, Joe Namath and the Jets is better, but, you know, that, you know, Eli Manning, you know, the victory with that first Super Bowl, I mean, that's right up there, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, to me, yeah, I definitely think he's I definitely think he's a Hall of Famer as well.
Yep, yep.
Now shifting gear, hopefully we could be saying the same thing about my quarterback, you know, maybe in a decade from now, if he can stay healthy.
Darnold.
And that's Darnold, man. He's you know, at one point, you know, recently he was, you know, he won 4 out of 5 games before, you know, he got his butt kicked lately, you know. And most recently, you know, they faced the Ravens. You know, Lamar Jackson, you know, he just torched them and earned Mac here a bunch of fantasy points, you know, with his, you know, Anderson, touchdown pass to Anderson, and they torched the Jets so badly that the Jets players literally took off their jerseys and were asking for his autograph at the end of the game. I'm not even joking. Like, that's legit. I don't know if you saw the footage, but they literally took off their jersey and was like yakking it up, joking around. I thought I was watching a post Knicks game, you know, with Knicks like palling around with LeBron James after they got torched. Like Lamar Jackson, like they were literally joking around Lamar Jackson. I'm trying to think who it was, probably Le'Veon Bell. I can't remember who else was. They took off their jersey. Oh yeah, Robbie Anderson. You know, dabbing the dude up after he just destroyed your team. Like, can they do this in the locker room where we can't see this?
Oh man, that's funny.
Like, dude, you guys are players. You're not fans. You're players, man. Y'all could have just went into the other dude's locker room. Like, yo, man, what up, Lamar, man? Yo, you killed us, man. Yo, man, I love you, man. You know, they could have did it in the locker room. We wouldn't have known. Unless there was an interview, like a post game interview, we would have never known. Like, that would have been super awkward. You know. You know, you gotta give the Jets some credit. You know, I just did my thing. You know, I just beat them. I don't know how you say it. I'm just, you know, just improvising. So my impression of him is way off. Forgive me. I've never heard him talk. So anyway, and then you know, the Jets players just come and just
You know, be like, yo, man, you killed us, man. Yo, man, you was phenomenal, man. You was just running all over us. Yeah, man, you know, I just did what I had to do. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so what do you think you're going to do next time you face the Jets?
You know, just do my thing. You know, just run on them and, you know, throw touchdown passes. You know what I'm saying? But seriously, man, like, why are they hugging him, high-fiving him? I know it's the end of the game, but come on. Like, it doesn't look good. It's not like we lost by 1 point. We got torched. You know, if you lost by 1 point, maybe you could be like, oh, okay, man, you got us, man. You know, that was a close one, man. Mad respect or whatever. But damn, man, you got blown out. And they clinched the division, you know, with that win.
Yeah.
Couldn't they wait when the Cowboys was not rolling?
Well,
to hug the guy.
Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's having a phenomenal season, you know.
I know.
Quarterback, you know, you got to give him credit for that. But I guess they're fans, just like we are, you know.
Jeez, man, you were in a jersey. I mean, they were wearing a jersey before they took it off and I guess asked him for his autograph or something. I'm like, dude, you guys are professional players, man. Come on. Act like you've been there before. You ain't got to be hugging the dude, you know, laughing at him. You guys got your butt kicked. Your butt's kicked, man. And y'all laughing? Couldn't y'all wait until the off season, when you're playing golf with the Mets, you know, to high-five him, like when he come by the Chelsea Piers or something, and, you know? Come on.
Yeah, Jets did not, and that was not a great. That was not. I mean, I know it's gonna be a loss, but that was not a. It didn't seem like Jets even made an effort, you know, in that game.
Jeez.
To stop them.
My goodness. I don't even know what to say, man. They just better win the next game. That's all I have to say, man. That's just. I mean, what else can you say?
Yeah, it was a bad performance.
It is what it is, man. It is what we're gonna say. It is what it is, man. They're gonna be hosting the Steelers next Sunday, not tomorrow, but the next Sunday, because obviously they lost Thursday night. So
yeah,
you know it is what it is. But another tough season for the Jets. But shifting gears. Yeah, let's talk TLC. Hopefully this one won't be a bad pay-per-view event. Cause you know I'm really intrigued with the Bray Wyatt Miz matchup. But we're gonna get into that. But let's dive into the our picks. You got the Viking Raiders, of course. You know that's Eric and Ivar. They're going to be defending their Raw Tag Team Champions to be determined. We don't know who it is yet. Since we don't know who it is, you got to pick the Viking Raiders. I can't think of anybody. I can't think of anybody who's shocking that could team up that could beat them. So got to stick with Viking Raiders, even though we don't know who their opponent's going to be.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Viking Raiders as well. I don't know who their opponents are going to be right now, but I'm going to go with them to retain the championship.
Yeah, unless they're finding DX, you know, out of retirement or something like a first ballot Hall of Fame team, you know. Maybe it could even be NWO, you know, since they're, you know, congratulations to them. They're in the Hall of Fame now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go into the Hall. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they've been showing that all week.
And Batista as well. So
yep.
Congratulations to, you know, him as well. So, I mean, unless if it's not like a first ballot Hall of Fame type guy, I can't think of anybody, I don't know, who's going to pop up and honestly Kevin Owens is going to team him with somebody or someone from NXT gets called up or something. I don't see anybody. I can't see anybody on the current Raw and SmackDown roster that if they team up, they would beat them.
Yep.
I mean, maybe Kevin Owens. I can't think of, maybe Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, maybe? Like, but then again, Randy Orton is Randy Orton? They're both on Raw, right? I'm trying to do the math in my head. Yeah, I think they're both on Raw.
Who?
Kevin Owens and Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah, they are.
So, yeah, barring those two teaming up, I can't foresee anybody else. I mean, if that's the case, then Kevin Owens and Randy Orton will win. But other than, somebody on that championship caliber level teaming up, / Hall of Fame level, the Viking Raiders are going to win. They're going to hit the Viking experience, and, it'll be a wrap.
Yeah.
Then the rivalry that never is going to end, Rusev versus Bobby Lashley, tables match. Maybe, I'm going to say Lashley's going to win, because if Lashley wins, it's going to continue this feud. If Rusev wins, I mean, that should be the end of this feud, but I don't think WWE is going to end this feud, even though apparently Lana and Lashley are getting death threats, literal death threats, because of this storyline, even though
people are dumb.
I mean, hello, Rusev is really married to Lana. This is storyline purposes. And even if they were separated, which obviously I don't approve of Lana and Rusev, Lana and Bobby Lashley, cheating on Rusev, but for storyline purposes, that's the deal, man. I mean, come on. I can't be, it goes without saying.
Dumb, man.
It is what it is, man. These are the same type of people who were sending death threats to Eugene from Walking Dead because, he sided with Negan years ago. But, that's how it is. The cancel culture we live in today.
Yeah, these are the same people who, don't want to eat big gay ice cream because it's from this company. I mean, come on. It's ice cream.
Yep, this is the world we live in. People can't agree to disagree or talk about your differences in a respectful way, like the good old days, But nowadays people are like, hey, if you're not going to agree with me, I'm going to be a keyboard warrior and just, hurt you with my words. Like,
it's dumb.
I mean, that's the way it is, man. But, I mean, yeah, well, back to the story. Bobby Lashley will win.
Yeah, I think so.
Then on
Wait, no, actually, no, I don't think Bobby Lashley. Sorry, I think Rusev will win. Sorry.
All right. Well, I hope you're right. To end this feud once and for all, but
I don't think Rusev will win it.
I don't see that happening. I want to see Lashley feuding with Lesnar whenever Lesnar decides to show up. Which I'm assuming he's going to pop up at Royal Rumble. So this is a major pay-per-view event. I think Asian will finally show up. But, man, this Lesnar match is going to be like Rock versus Shawn Michaels or Stone Cold versus Goldberg. These are like matches that should have happened long, long time ago. Or Sting versus Undertaker. And they just, because of WWE's, poor booking skills, these matches never happen. Like, hello, we had Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle. They hyped up this match for years. This was even before Daniel Bryan was even, Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle were both eventually cleared to wrestle again. And that match never happened. Instead, we had Angle versus Baron Corbin. For his last ever match. So, thanks WWE. Thanks for your creativeness.
Yeah,
your non-creative creative team. But I digress. Back to this tables and ladders and chairs match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. It's the Kabuki Warriors, which is of course Asuka and Kairi Sane versus Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. I'm picking, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair to win. The Kabuki Warriors have been whooping Becky and Charlotte behind a lot lately. But, you can't bet against Charlotte and Becky. They're gonna get these tag team titles.
Yeah, I think Becky and Charlotte are gonna win this as well.
And shout out to Kairi Sane, man. She hit the illest
Sane elbow off on Becky Lynch through a table. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that could be an interesting match to watch right there. Then you got Aleister Black versus Buddy Murphy. That should be a good match as well. Of course, we all know Buddy Murphy is going to fade to black, you know, when he faces Aleister Black.
That's going to be a good match, I think.
Yeah. Hands down.
All right, I'm going with Buddy Murphy.
Then you got, you also got the New Day. Of course, that's Big E and Kofi. You know, Xavier Woods is still injured. I think he injured his ankle or his knee or something. I think it was his ankle he injured. Something with his leg. You know, Lord knows when he's going to come back. Hopefully he'll have a speedy recovery. And he's going to be battling, the Revival, which is, of course, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder in a ladder match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champion. Who do you think is going to win that one?
This is a good one. I think the New Day will retain the titles.
Yeah, I hope so. I could see it going either way. Yeah, I could see it going either way. But I think New Day is going to retain it, at least for this pay-per-view, at least. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, before I get to the last match, which is Roman Reigns versus King Corbin, Seth Rollins finally revealed that he's the new leader of AOP by curb stomping Kevin Owens after he got, you know, assaulted by AOP for the past couple of weeks. And now Seth Rollins, as a good guy, he's been booed. You know, they've been trying to force feed him down people's throats. You know, no matter how many times he curb stomp people, especially Bray Wyatt, he can never be, you know, the fan favorite like he was when he was with the Shield. But now that he's a heel, now he's gonna be a fan favorite. Watch.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I think this is gonna, put him back with WWE, put him back in WWE fan graces again,
And yeah, and then of course, the last match of this TLC is Roman Reigns versus King Corbin, tables, ladders, and chairs match. Wow, I'm surprised they don't have a chairs match. The worst gimmick / stipulation match ever. I'm surprised this is like the first tables, ladders, and chair match in a long time, probably in the past decade, that doesn't have a chairs match. Like, that's like the dumb. Why does a chair match even exist? Like, when there's no disqualifications, the 9 out of 10 times people are gonna use a chair. So how's it? What's it? Can someone please explain to me, like, in a chairs match, can you only use a chair and nothing else is legal? Like, what is the point of a chairs match? Or did they just create the chairs match because they needed? They have a tables match. They have a ladder match. Yeah, of course, they have a tables, ladders, and chairs match. But hey, why don't we have a chairs match? Yeah, like, is it a musical chair? Do you have to, you know, stand on a chair and, you know, whoever can reach the top, like a ladder, wins? I mean, like, what's the point of a chairs match?
One of those gimmick matches.
It's the worst gimmick match ever. What other gimmick matches worse than that?
Wow. You ever seen a strap match?
Well, yeah. I mean, but a strap match at least is better than that match. I mean,
I don't know about that. The strap match is like, the strap match to me is pretty lame. I mean, that's...
I agree with that. Isn't that the same one when you have to drag your person to like four different corners and touch a bell or whatever?
Yeah.
Or what about those like contract on a pole match or something like that?
That's just an imitation ladder match, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know?
But a chair match is pointless. I mean, a strap match, at least it's
I mean,
I'm not
a chair match. You could use the chair anyway outside
the
ring.
Yeah, but that's my point. That's the reason there should be a chairs match, because people use chairs anyway.
Right.
So why do you need a chairs match? A strap match, at least it's different. You know, it's different than a regular match. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, but with a chair, it's like you always have a chair. So.
Unless they allow you to use any type of chair you want, you know, like a fucking,
a lazy boy chair,
office chair, yeah,
office
lazy boy chair,
a car seat, a baby car seat, like, I mean,
then that'd be more creative.
Yeah, that would be an interesting chairs match. If they would do that, then I'd be like, okay, fine, that's the chairs match. But if you're using a generic chair that you just grab from the ring or the timekeeper or you know underneath the ring. I mean, it's downright pointless to me, but I digress. That's why we have good ideas. That's why we're not, part of the creative team. So, you just got to deal with it. But, back to the last match. Roman Reigns versus King Corbin, of course, also known as Baron Corbin. Roman Reigns will win. What do you think?
Wow. I think this might be an upset. I actually think King Corbin might win this.
With some interference, of course.
Possibly, but I think he's going to find a way to win this, unfortunately.
You know what? You could be right. I mean, Roman Reigns in a match is an automatic win, but Baron Corbin, man, they always cheat for him. He's like a modern-day JBL. It's like the guy can't fight for nothing, but... You know, he always finds a way to cheat in the end to win. So, I don't put it past him. And it is a no disqualification match. But then again, with WWE, you never know, because the last two Hell in the Cell matches 2 years in a row have ended in disqualification. So, this match should be a no disqualification match unless a referee is like, no, Roman, you're better than this. I hope not be surprised, man. If there's a disqualification match tomorrow, and we talk about this next week, man, like, oh, man, I don't even know what to say. I'm literally speechless. So, since I'm speechless, I'll do something off script. What's your thoughts on how you think Star Wars is going to be?
Oh, I think it's gonna. I think it's gonna be much better than the last film. I think that they learned their lesson, hopefully, from the mistake that they made in The Last Jedi. But I think it's gonna be great. I mean, I think they're gonna find a way to have Luke redeem himself after having that miserable send off. I don't know how he's gonna come back in this one. We'll just have to find out. But I think. You're going to have a lot of questions answered. You're going to find more about Rey, learn about her origin, more about Kylo. And I think everything from the – what was the first one called again?
Force Awakens.
Everything from Force Awakens to now, I think you're gonna get more info, that has left you frustrated over these last several years.
4 years, man.
4 years, yeah. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be good.
I agree with you. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic because Force Awakens, new movie, first Disney Star Wars film, first film they had since I was born in '83, and then there's such enthusiasm having a new Star Wars because before that, prior to that, they had the EU, the expanded universe, which is not deemed Legends. You had video games, books, and, fans were, they had a backstory of how Luke, Leia, Han Solo, and the rest of the gang were doing for the past 30 years,
Yeah.
And then, of course, Disney bought the rights to it, 2012. So then 2015, people were excited about Force Awakens. And, after the film, people were criticizing it to being a copycat of A New Hope, Episode 4. Which, I mean, I liked it. I really liked it, to be honest with you. even though it was a ripoff of A New Hope. But, you know, but after seeing Last Jedi made The Force Awakens worse, because J.J. Abrams left a lot of mystery stuff, which would have been perfect if he was helming the entire trilogy. But when you're not in charge of the whole trilogy and you're just shipping it off to any random person like Rian Johnson, who doesn't care about continuity of, you know, the past 40 years of Star Wars, or even J.J. Abrams' films 2 years prior to that, you know, you're going to have a totally different film. And that's The Last Jedi literally killed the fan base as the Star Wars fans knew it, you know. And because of The Last Jedi, we still have some unknown answers that, you know, that this movie should have been, this Rise of Skywalker should have been the second movie. Because The Last Jedi should have answered, who's Rey's parents? You know, where's Finn from? Is, you know, Rey a Skywalker or Kenobi or a Palpatine? Or, you know, where's the Knights of Ren? You know, they never show the reunion of Luke, Leia, and Han together. You know, that never happened, which is what the fans were looking forward to. Them killing off Han without them even reuniting, that basically sealed the fate of the Disney Star Wars trilogy. And then, of course, The Last Jedi, Luke dies in the most embarrassing way, after he had a character assassination of him abandoning everybody and, you know, trying to kill Kylo Ren in a moment of weakness. You know, he got bested by Kylo Ren. He got bested by Rey. Luke was just a cowardly old dude. You know, he was not the Jedi, proud Jedi, optimistic Jedi that we left him in Last Jedi. In Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So yeah, they need a lot of stuff to rebound. You know, but we'll see with J.J. Abrams back. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm not as overly excited as I was going to Last Jedi as I am going to Rise of Skywalker. I'm just hoping they don't mess it up. But
yeah, go in there with an open mind, you know?
That's all I got to do, man. Just go with an open mind. And shout out to the Mandalorian, man. This show is giving new life to the Star Wars fan base. Hopefully, Rise of Skywalker can capitalize on that and repair this fandom, this torn fandom of Star Wars fans. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, I'll give you a Mandalorian review once the series is over in a few weeks. So look forward to that. Anything you'd like to say before you go?
Check out my show IMAC next Friday at a special time and date. And yeah, come back here, check out Sports and Legend. These Saturdays at 10 or 11, I should say. Only on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, man. Check out the show next week. I might be doing my show Friday as well. We'll see what happens. We might do it Friday. I might do my show Friday as well. Keep your eyes peeled, you know, for next week's episode of Sports Rebel Legend. Going to be at 11 o'clock. Most likely might be Friday or Saturday at 11 next week. And check out my YouTube channel, Sports Rebel Legend TV. And, of course, check out IMAC, Mac Show, every Saturdays at 10 on Block Talk Radio. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace.